Funding for this program is brought to you by Knight Incorporated and their MetaTracker 5. The app, once used exclusively by actuaries and underwriters, is now available to the general public. And by Toruki International, providing reliable, safe, clean energy from their state-of-the-art breeder reactors. And by listeners like you. The Romans against the Gauls at Alesia. The Six-Day War. The Battle of Gate Pas, and the 300 Spartans of Thermopylae. Scant, valiant defenders prevail, some in seeming defeat against overwhelming force and impossible odds. It's a story as old as history, and reflected in the bright deeds and wrenching sacrifice of those who carried sword and shield against reputed terrorist and mass murderer Corvus Corax. On the 20th anniversary of his escape from Dingo River, let us look back on the rise of these citizen warriors, the Paladin Brigade. Mankind has long thought itself master of this world, but among its ranks, giants grew, beings of immense power, outscaling humanity and reaching out toward the Promethean fire, and in so doing, cast behind them a twilight, leaving us, their brethren, in the shadow of the gods. Episode 3, The Paladin Brigade. I'm Jonah Fox. 30 years ago, the Scion picture across North America was very clear. A very small percentage of the population reportedly possessed psionic abilities. Federal, state, and local authorities, in conjunction with organizations that would eventually give rise to Knight Incorporated and the Paladin Brigade, possessed more than ample technology and numbers to deal with any potential threat to the safety of the citizens of Canada, Mexico, and the United States. 5 years later, everything, and I mean everything, changed with the discovery of Corvus Corax. I spoke to Dr. Michel Mureau, Chief Forensic Psionic Investigator for the International Paladin Brigade, about the breadth and scope of Corax's reach.
His influence is pervasive, intoxicating, and malevolent. He stains every mind he touches with coercion, violence, and deception. He possessed such diverse and powerful psionic abilities, he was able to recruit and inspire people to join his ranks simply by sending out tendrils, for want of a better word, of psionic energy that would be partially absorbed into the minds and bodies of everyday average citizens who just happened to be sensitive to psionic energy. They became known as the so-called citizens of Corax. Disturbingly enough, there are still quite a few of them living today. Some were unwilling participants who had no idea that Corax had invaded their mind and was partially controlling them. Some reported enjoying a calm and peaceful influence from Corax's mental invasion. Still others reveled in his influence to the point they trekked across the continent to join him at his Montana-Saskatchewan compound.
It was this migration, along with the identification of Corax's psionic fingerprint, that finally led to his discovery, although it would be quite some time before the enormity of the discovery could be fully realized. A hasty Continental Security Summit was secretly convened between Canada, Mexico, and the United States, resulting in a treaty authorizing a joint operation under the auspices of the newly reformed International Paladin Brigade.
This new iteration of the brigade was potentially more powerful than previous incarnations, due in large part to the data provided from the MetaTracker 5 app. Continent-wide, brigade commanders, in conjunction with senior Knight Incorporated operatives, simultaneously initiated a coordinated 5-stage manhunt for the isolation and capture of Corvus Corax. Stage 1 concerned communication. What was already being called the Corax compound had to be isolated. The brigade's Guardian Division used a variation on the Hale protocol, known as the Hushed Bell, to ensure that every single byte of data received by the Corax compound was screened, washed, and filtered, to ensure that the impending raid would come as a complete secret.
In order to ensure Stage 1's success, the Brigade, with the assistance of trusted agents within the federal governments of North America, outfitted over 300 civilian vehicles that would not draw unwanted attention. While Paladins secured and piloted these vehicles, Guardians of the Brigade administered the Hale Protocol from within. On the street, Plainclothes operatives of Knight Incorporated were positioned in high civilian traffic areas to ensure the safety of the populace at all costs. Communication was dispatched through Hutton and was compartmentalized, terse, tight-beamed, and uniquely targeted.
In Stage 2, transportation was a key factor. I think everyone remembers Commander Jeffrey Knight's infamous quote, "Damn this country's infrastructure." It was certainly echoed through the communication net to his own civilian operatives, the entirety of the Paladin Brigade, agents of Interpol, and countless representatives of the federal governments of North America. I don't think he knew his mic was open. Well, he was terribly frustrated, trying to secure all the roads leading into and out of the Korax compound, while at the same time attempting to lead his team to the front door.
With the aid of the long-rumored undercover federal agent codenamed Iron Horse in the official reports of the incident, Commander Knight and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police established over a dozen scaled and targeted traffic events that effectively cut off civilians seeking to enter or leave the Montana-Saskatchewan compound. And standing by to assist were the plainclothes operatives of Knight Incorporated, positioned in high civilian traffic areas to ensure public safety.
Stage 3 has always been controversial, the psychic calming. Under the watchful eye of the Hutton AI, several of the brigade's best guardians, along with their specially designed pods, were transferred to a highly secure location in Saskatchewan and outfitted with psionic energy dampening projectors that neutralize the Korvox effect on psychically sensitive humans in the area. Of course, those wearing Paladin or Nightweave armor were not affected. It is unfortunate that even today the brigade continues to feel the sting of Stage 3. The activists and protesters constantly rain allegations of malfeasance down on the Paladins and the Hutton AI, accusing them of manipulating the psionic states of several million human beings in order to capture Corvus Korax. I'm not sure what's upsetting them more, that Korax was controlling them, or that the brigade refused to allow it.
Stage 4 was the apprehension phase. Guardian Salome Perez coordinated the Paladians' descent to an invasion of the Korax compound. The Fuerza Aérea Mexicana provided air transportation, authorized and outfitted by Mexico's National Defense Secretariat, specifically for the Paladin Brigade. With the HALE protocol filtering data and the Guardian base dampening psionic emanations, the Paladin's arrival was completely unnoticed by anyone in the compound. Years later, even the most thorough investigation of public records have never turned up a single verifiable trace of the Paladin planes that flew heroically over the continent that day. Four units of the most experienced scions ever to wield Paladin armor were airdropped over the Korvax compound. Each Paladin guided themselves to land expertly and silently to rally with the other members of their units and begin executing their simultaneous missions immediately.
Paladin Unit Alpha wound up field testing cloaking devices in their armor. It was a tense moment, but the test was successful, and Alpha took control of the only known entrance and exit to the compound. Paladin Unit Beta secured the helipad and the small landing strip, as well as its hangars. Unit Gamma dispersed throughout the compound, creating diversions to draw the citizens and armed security personnel away from Corvus Korvax. And Delta, well, Delta drew the short straw, using experimental site-to-site transporters to surround and isolate Korax, literally and psionically, appearing out of nowhere. Thankfully, the Saskatchewan Guardian Unit's psionic dampening fields took all the winds out of the citizens of Korvax and rendered Korax himself nearly senseless. He surrendered with very little fuss.
This set up Stage 5, the extraction. Members of the Delta Unit of Paladins would unfortunately never escape the lifelong after-effects of extracting Korvus from his compound. You see, no one, not one single person, from the most powerfully gifted natural scion to the most highly advanced being grown in an AI breeder vat, would have been able to predict what would happen next. Paladin Unit Delta escorted the now docile and weak Korvus Korvax directly to the Dingo River Psionic Security Facility. Korvax was incarcerated in a special cell with AIB guards who were unaffected by the prisoner's psionics. An executive staff led by Dr. Peter Abeling, COO of the Korvax Institute, immediately began the dual function of debriefing Korvax as well as reporting to the federal governments of North America. These reports stressed that regardless of how effective Dingo River was, the security measures would not be enough to contain Korax for long. Dr. Ebeling was correct, and the suspect escaped Dingo River 18 days later. Join us next time as we examine the incredible escape of Corvus Korax. You have been listening to In the Shadow of the Gods, Episode 3, The Paladin Brigade. Written by Kane Dorr and Paul Ellis. Performed by Paul Ellis. Theme music, Into the Storm, provided by Brandon Lee, and is available at freemusicarchive.org. This episode was produced at Wireless Adventures, all the thrills with no strings attached. This program is copyright 2016 by City Musenet and is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Reporting for City Musenet, I'm Jonah Fox.